This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in L.A. CDC says if you're pregnant, get vaccinated. Comes as ICUs across the country are seeing more pregnant women with critical COVID cases.
California now has a statewide vaccine mandate for teachers and school staff.
You want to go to Hawaii?
Yes.
New safety rules there, though, going back into effect. The state looks to balance tourism with keeping infections as low as they can.
After Hawaii, we'll go to Texas. I don't know if I'd rather stay in Hawaii, but okay, we'll go to Texas, where a fight is starting over mask mandates.
And after all that, we're going to the gym, because some of those are having a tough time coming back from the pandemic.
I think it's from eating all the food in Hawaii.
All over the place today.
Let's start with pregnant women getting vaccinated. Dr. Allison Cahill is a maternal fetal medicine physician and professor in the Department of Women's Health at the University of Texas Medical School. Doctor, is the evidence coming down on the side that pregnant women should get vaccinated?
The initial trials didn't enroll pregnant women, just excluded them on the basis of being pregnant, which is unfortunate because we know that pregnancy emerged as a risk factor for more severe disease, a greater likelihood to be admitted to the hospital, require oxygen and be admitted to the ICU and even die. But ultimately, many of the extended trials enrolled pregnant women, and we're very grateful to the pregnant women who felt as though the known risks of COVID disease outweighed the theoretic risks of the vaccine and received the vaccine over these last many months. And they were part of a registry, and those registries are now producing data to help support that, in fact, there's no concern about safety for moms or baby or unborn babies that are specific to pregnancy, and thus have really helped us alter the recommendations. And so now ACOG and the CDC and others are very strongly recommending that pregnant people and those that are breastfeeding to please get vaccinated.
Do we know why pregnancy is such a risk factor?
That's an interesting question, and I would say that we don't. But similar to other viruses that we've seen before that particularly impact the respiratory system, such as strains of the flu itself, remembering the H1N1 strain days. There are changes that are specific to pregnancy that help a woman's body accommodate a healthy pregnancy that then perhaps make it vulnerable to some of these viruses that impact the respiratory system. But we probably won't know for some time why precisely. We do know, though, from the large studies that have been published now, that there does seem to be a consistent reporting that pregnant women compared to their non-pregnant peers are at increased risk for severe disease.
Have you, in your own personal experience, found it a hard sell to get pregnant women to be vaccinated against COVID?
Well, that's a complicated question, but I think that there is a lot of information being passed around by all the various ways that we acquire information these days. And some of it is quite good. And some of it, frankly, is quite incorrect. And that incorrect information, sometimes depending on the vehicle or who's speaking, can be quite powerful. And so I think depending on which patients are exposed to which, or which are from different cultural backgrounds or other types of different philosophies, may feel strongly against vaccination per se or against this vaccination. I think in my personal experience clinically, when I can explain how horrible this disease is in pregnant women just like them and patients I have cared for who have had such horrible things happen to them because of this virus, that becomes not such a difficult discussion to have. So I think that folks are really open to hearing that information. And I think the ACOG guidelines are now very clear that pregnant women and women who are breastfeeding should absolutely be vaccinated. And a consultation from a healthcare provider is certainly not required, but we're here to help give patients the actual information and try and alleviate their concerns that are mostly based on non-factual information.
Dr. Allison Cahill, maternal fetal medicine physician, professor, Department of Women's Health, University of Texas, Austin.
California now requiring all teachers and school staff be vaccinated or be tested for COVID every week. They're just the latest workers now under a vaccine mandate.
Some districts already had this, and more are coming on board. Now everybody is, right? Glenn Sachs, social studies teacher, James Monroe High in L.A. Glenn, is this going to be an uphill climb to get all the teachers their vaccines?
Well, yeah, the vast majority are vaccinated. And, you know, LAUSD was real good about it in the spring. They made it easy for us. We were able to, get the both shots or whatever we needed pretty easily. There are some people who object for religious reasons or for medical reasons. I don't know that the religious reasons are going to go very far, but you know, there are people with legitimate medical reasons, but, you know, the vast majority of us are already vaccinated. That's really not a problem because as teachers, we're used to that. It's a condition of employment. There's a whole battery of vaccines that we have to have before we can even be teachers. This is just one more.
And the testing scheme, how do we feel about that? The once a week enough to catch everything fast enough, or is that probably the best you can do? You can't test everybody every day. So what are you going to do at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about as good as you can do. You know, they're going to be on campuses on specific days, the same day every week. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, you get a test and then your test runs out and you haven't got the next one. And they'll be dismissing classes to, you know, everybody in whatever building, now go over or get your tests. I mean, they've got it organized pretty well. And, you know, I think it's about as good as you can do under the circumstances.
You know, there are some people who think that the sort of option of get vaccinated or get tested is kind of a cop-out, that unless you have, as you pointed out at the very beginning, a medical or a valid religious reason, it really should be not one or the other, but just one, get vaccinated.
Yeah, and I can't even think of what a valid religious reason would be. I mean, to me, that's just superstition. I mean, look, it's not like we're the first people taking this vaccine. We're not the guinea pigs. You know, hundreds of millions of people have already had it. And, you know, what Gavin Newsom just announced, you know, for LAUSD, it's really irrelevant. You know, Newsom says everybody has to either be vaccinated or get a regular COVID test. Everybody in LAUSD is going to be tested every week, whether you're staff and students, whether you're vaccinated or not.
Did you see any pushback to the testing, even if you're vaccinated? Because there was some out there wondering, well, why do we have to do this if we got our shots? And then people point to Delta and other spread, and it's just a very, let's be as safe as you can because we want the kids in class at the end of the day. We don't want them to go back home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a couple months ago when it looked like the plague was going to be gone, you know, maybe people would have thought more, you know, more in the way you just described. But, you know, now that it's come back with a vengeance, I can't imagine that there's a lot of opposition, at least within the schools, a lot of opposition to that.
So what happens, everyone's back in the classroom, right? And as is bound to happen, and you know it's going to happen, somebody sneezes or coughs, or they come in and their nose is running a little bit. And I'm talking about students and or teachers. How is this going to be manageable?
Well, I mean, and you're saying they tested negative for COVID, but you think they might have it?
Well, they tested negative or they're only doing it like, you know, to Mike's point, they're not doing it every day. So you get tested on Monday, but somebody walks into the class on Friday and they're sneezing. I mean, is there a game plan on what to do with the class?
Yeah, there's a protocol for that when you're dealing with it with students and also with teachers. With teachers, again, they make it easy. They basically send you home and you get your full pay while you're home with COVID. And then as soon as you can come back, you come back.
Glenn Sachs, Social Studies, James Monroe High.
Close your eyes. Picture yourself on a beach in Hawaii.
Pina colada right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that sounds with the little umbrella.
That's right. Yeah. Got to have the umbrella.
Sounds nice. Sounds relaxing. But could COVID prevent that from happening soon?
Hawaii had really strict rules, dropped them. Tourists came back. Now some of the restrictions are returning. Dr. Thomas Lee, epidemiologist, modeler at the University of Hawaii. He's been advising the governments throughout the pandemic. So, doctor, current situation there is what?
Yeah, so what we're seeing with COVID, specifically the Delta variant in Hawaii, is no different than what we've seen across the continental United States and across other countries that preceded Hawaii with regards to COVID transmission. So, you know, we understand Delta is highly infectious. And, you know, if you just think about the fact that we're an island, it's inevitable that travel will bring Delta and COVID to Hawaii, regardless of if it's tourism or returning residents. And I have to say that it's definitely a combination of both. It's not one or the other.
So what are some of the new rules that are being looked at as you scale things back? But I guess this is also a delicate dance, right? You have to ward off Delta as best you can, but you can't lose all the tourism again because that was a huge blow for a year plus.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. So the new, or I would say the returning mitigation that the governor put in place yesterday was to cap indoor gatherings to 10, outdoor gatherings to 25, and then any high risk areas such as gyms, bars, or restaurants are back to 50% capacity. And so, yes, we understand that we need to utilize all of our mitigation efforts to curb the current spread. However, there is a way to do it where we're not harming the economy and the recovery too much, and vaccines have been the lifesaver. That's a tool we didn't have a year ago.
What is the vaccination rate among the citizens of Hawaii, and are there thoughts about making vaccinations mandatory to visit?
Yeah, currently the overall vaccination rate for fully vaccinated across the state is 60.8%, or pretty much 61%, which is higher than a lot of other states, but it's not quite there. In terms of mandating vaccines, you know, I leave that to the policymakers, the governor and the mayors to do that at their respective levels. But what we do know from the modeling that my colleagues and I have done is, you know, even a 5% increase in the fully vaccinated population will have dramatic decreases in future transmission. So really vaccines, you know, if you really want to get back to normal, and not really deal with these gathering size limits, increasing vaccination efforts is the way to go.
Curious about the gathering part, because a lot of people know the islands with like the hotel or the resort they're staying at, right? So you got the pool and there's 100 people there. That's over 25. Or is that just like if I'm having a wedding, I live there, it's a birthday party, that kind of thing? Don't get all your friends together?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
they got to play by the rules too?
Yeah. Great. I would say, I'm going based off the summary that the governor put out yesterday. It applies to everybody, and it applies yesterday. It doesn't matter if you're a tourist, if you're a resident, if you're a business. There are exceptions for professional gatherings, 50 or a little more, but you have to work with the county to get exception for that. But yeah, a pool outdoors, 25, and obviously the businesses will find a way to mitigate safely. But yes, there is an increased burden to a lot of the businesses in the state.
What about the burden to hospitals? Some states, as I'm sure you know, Florida, for example, we had some doctors on yesterday talking about how it's just an impossible situation there. They have to cancel elective surgeries. The ICU beds are all pretty much taken. What's the situation with hospitals in Hawaii?
Yeah, it's definitely concerning because of the past 2 weeks of triple digit, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600 cases a day. We are seeing a big increase in hospitalizations based on the utilization. We're not quite at breaking point. However, you know, I would say that most hospitals on island have considered and are accounting for mitigation efforts and surge capacity, et cetera. So they are in that planning effort. The goal, once again, is to use preventative efforts to make sure we don't reach overcapacity like we're seeing in Florida and some other states.
Dr. Thomas Lee, epidemiologist, modeler, University of Hawaii, has been advising the state governments throughout the pandemic. Doctor, thanks.
Coming up after a short break, we head to the Lone Star State, where the governor is being challenged over masks. Texas has always had an independent spirit. Now, that goes down all the way to the local level. After the governor issued an order basically banning mask mandates by local governments, Dallas and some other big cities challenged all that.
And they won. There's an injunction issued to prevent the order from applying in those areas. Dr. Philip Huang, epidemiologist, director, Health Authority, Dallas County Health and Human Services. So, doctor, your thoughts on these cities getting what they want in terms of the masking in the schools?
Well, you know, this really should not be a political issue. It's a public health issue, and we appreciate the issuance of the temporary restraining order against the governors, you know, not allowing us at the local level to, you know, do what's needed to protect public health.
Are you, as a physician, still surprised that there's any resistance to masks, to vaccines? I mean, it just seems so odd.
I mean, I'm disappointed, you know, unfortunately, given a lot of the climate and now, you know, I mean, the political climate and things, unfortunately, I'm not that surprised. I mean, we're hearing, I mean, and we've seen how politicized this becomes. But then, I'm, you know, hearing more of these cases of the people who then have been taking these stands against it and then winding up in the hospital. I just talked to a physician over the weekend who was telling me about a patient that was, you know, had to be being cared for and had to be intubated. And right before the intubation, screams out an expletive and said, "I should have taken the vaccine." And this is what we're hearing more and more. But, you know, in the meantime, the people are still taking their stand and not doing these things.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that resonates maybe with at least the people that know that person, but not a ripple effect that's large enough to have changed things at least yet?
Well, again, I think we're hearing more and more of these stories of people, you know, that have been so vocally against it and then regretting that their actions and saying and recognizing they should have gotten the vaccine and they should be wearing the masks and doing all of these things.
Let me ask you something, because I'm just seeing now on my phone that NBC News is reporting that the FDA tomorrow is going to amend its emergency authorization for the COVID vaccine so that a booster can be given to people who have compromised immune systems. How big of a deal is that?
Well, definitely, you know, for those persons, you know, that will boost their the effectiveness of the vaccine for that population. I mean, unfortunately, we're still working on, you know, almost half the population that hasn't even gotten their first dose also. And that's largely what's fueling this, you know, surge in cases that we're seeing, that we have so many people that haven't even gotten any doses of vaccine.
Who would fall under that, do you think, the immunocompromised? Is this for people with transplants, cancer patients, this kind of treatment? Because you've also just got a subset of 65-plusers out there going, give me a third, hurry, give me one. And it's like, well, not yet, guys.
Well, definitely those groups that you're talking about, those that are on immunosuppressive medications or with immunocompromising conditions.
The situation in Texas... You have these states. You're one of them. Unfortunately, Florida's another, a number of other southern states where the Delta variant has caused and is causing severe problems. Are you at all getting any signals that because of that, other variants perhaps of potential concern might be arising?
You know, that's absolutely one of the things that we're worried about. So we're continuing to, you know, monitor for that. At this point, you know, we're still dealing with the Delta variant, and that's plenty. But, you know, we certainly, you know, hope we don't see that, but we're certainly concerned about that possibility. And that's why, again, it is a race sort of getting everyone vaccinated, try to just slow the spread and prevent those variants from developing.
In terms of the patients, we know there are more of them because we can see the caseload, but are they sicker? Do they stay longer? Are they younger?
They're definitely younger is one of the things that we're seeing. You know, I mean, what we've done a good job of is getting the over 65 vaccinated. So we've actually, you know, seen this shift in the populations that are being hospitalized. They're in the younger age groups. You know, I mean, we're also seeing some more severe illness in some of these younger groups.
Has anyone figured out yet whether or not the severity of COVID in younger people, is that because of some fundamental shift in the way the virus is actually, you know, operating within the human body of younger people? Or is it just because it's kind of a fluke of statistics?
You know, I mean, it certainly may be a numbers issue. And I think, you know, we're still trying to learn. Every day we keep learning more about this virus and the variants.
Dr. Philip Wang, epidemiologist, director of the Dallas County Health and Human Services Department, used to be at the CDC. Doctor, thanks.
The pandemic and shutdown orders have been exceptionally rough on gyms. Many smaller gyms have had to shut down.
They reopened, but then Delta have had people skipping the trips again. Where are we now with gyms? Samantha Lusk, owner-operator of Strange Strength and Conditioning, North Hollywood. Samantha, how have you been weathering the COVID storm as of late?
Well, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster for sure because, you know, as you just said, we were closed down for about 3 months when the whole city was locked down. Then we were open inside for about 2 weeks, and then we were sent outside for about a year. And then as things kind of started to get better, people are getting vaccinated, business definitely picked up. And we are still indoors, thank God. But obviously, the new Delta variant has made it a little bit more challenging in the last few weeks, for sure.
Now, of course, a lot of people in the past year, not being able to go to gyms, found other ways of exercising outside in their own homes or apartments. Are you concerned that a number of those people may decide to keep that as a permanent arrangement?
I think it's a combination of things. I think there's the good part about it is people realized how important physical fitness is. And I think a lot of people that did work out at home enjoyed it, but also were very relieved when the gyms opened back up, because obviously it's really hard to motivate yourself when you're alone in your garage versus being at a gym with people and a coach. And, you know, it's also hard to come up with your own workouts. And that's why gyms like mine exist, because people can kind of walk in and not have to think about it. I do think a small percentage of people will still kind of stay home and do their own thing. And we've definitely seen that. But by and large, I think people were really excited to get back, you know, face to face.
Do you think the Peloton crowd has been a problem for you guys? I mean, because there's some people that, look, they don't miss the routine. I go, okay, I got to get up early and breakfast and then get the shake ready and then go to you guys and then shower and get to work. And, oh, I can just ride the bike on my balcony or in my office.
Right. Oh, my gosh, the Peloton. people love it. I think that because my gym is a little bit different than like your average gym, we're a little bit more intense, functional fitness, a lot of barbell work, gymnastics, like kind of high skill. We don't always attract the Peloton crowd. So although I'm sure some of my members have them, it certainly doesn't replicate the intensity of the workouts that we offer here.
I detect you are not a fan of Peloton.
You are correct. I am not. I mean, I think that it was a kind of a brilliant idea. And obviously, you know, they have thrived during the pandemic. But I just think there's more to life than than a spin bike.
What do you think is going to make people feel safer if they're still wary of the, like, okay, I'm going inside, everybody's breathing really hard, it's tightly packed. Is it more ventilation? Is it purifiers? Is it just time for case numbers to go down?
Well, it's definitely a combination. So we're really lucky. We're in North Hollywood, but we're kind of close to the Burbank Airport, and we have a big space. We have a big kind of hangar. So we have huge bay doors on either end and a very open floor plan with 20-foot ceilings, and we have, like, a big, huge fan. So like you said, we have a lot of ventilation, and because we are large, we're 6,000 square feet, we kind of have taped off, like, 12 by 10 squares on the floor. So when you're here, you kind of go into your area and you're separate, you know, enough from the other athletes that it doesn't feel like people are so close to you. So we do that. We do temperature checks. People are masked. And then we sanitize. We have the members sanitize all the equipment after they use it. And as a result, we really have had, we've had no issue with any sort of, like, case spreading throughout the gym. We've had some isolated cases, but nothing that affected the membership as a whole.
Samantha Lusk, owner-operator, Strange Strength and Conditioning there in North Hollywood. Samantha, thanks.
You're not supposed to get a vaccine booster shot right now. First, they're not approved. Second, no one is technically allowed to give you a third shot, even if you ask for it. But these things have not stopped it from happening. ABC News says the CDC estimates more than 1 million people who have received the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine have gone back for an unauthorized third booster shot. Florida is among the states reporting the highest number of people opting for a booster shot, followed by Ohio, California, Illinois, and Tennessee. And this could be an undercount because it doesn't include those who got the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine and then went back to get another. It's unclear if people who got the booster did so because a doctor said it was okay.
This is an Odyssey original. Find us and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards.
Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.